Is it coming up? Okay. Well, good morning, family. It's good to see everybody here, and welcome. Sorry for the technical glitch. It's easier for her to run the computer back there than it is up here, but just makes a little bit more space, but it's okay. We'll get there in just a minute. Let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this morning. I just pray that we just slow down and just stop and just gather our mind and our thoughts and put our hearts and our thoughts and our focus on you right now, Lord. Not about our issues, the technical issues, the weather even the circumstances of our life, Lord, brings us to a place where we need to honor and recognize you. As Deanna said, we need to give you the honor and the praise and the glory that you're so worthy of. So, Father, let us just take this small amount of time as we gather for worship this morning to just honor you, to lift you up and to exalt you. Father, we need to just stop, and it's easy to see our needs and our wants and the difficulties and circumstances of our life, but sometimes, Lord, we just need to draw close to you and just bask in your truth. Father, thank you that we can gather this morning. I thank you that no matter what the technical difficulties might be, we can just still talk to you, and we can hear you, and we can fellowship with you, and we're blessed by you. Lord, we love you, and we say thank you. And all God's people said, amen. We making progress? Kind of, sort of. Well, let me just dive right in. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about faith. 2 weeks ago, we talked about stuck faith, and the little picture that I had was footprints going in a circle. Sometimes it feels like that in our faith journey, that our foot is stuck in one place, and the other one keeps moving, and we just keep going around and around and around in circles. We talked about how to overcome that. Last week, I talked about filtered faith, where we have lenses and things that we see the world around us or how we perceive the things that are happening. And those filters are really just, they're things that we've got preconceived ideas about, things that have influenced us, like our families, our culture, bad teaching, misinterpretations of scriptures. And God wants us to see the real truth, his truth. Well, today I want to talk about, so we've talked about stuck faith, we talked about filtered faith. Today I want to talk about infectious faith. Now, not infectious like in a virus, well kind of. I want it to be infectious, Paul. I want my faith to be a way of infecting others. Because, you see, that's how God designed our faith. Jesus came, one person. God gave us his son, one person who died on the cross. He had his 12 minus one, got a new guy on the island. Those 12 then spread out and shared the gospel. One of the most impressive verses, or most impactful, maybe impressive is the wrong term because it's all impressive. The most impactful verses in the Bible or places in the Bible is the change that happened in Peter's life. Peter, who used to be pretty low in life, you know, fisherman, whatever, on the shores, just kind of a hardworking guy, and Jesus called him, said, follow me. And then Peter was so gallant and pulling his sword out and wanting to defend Jesus when the soldiers came and captured him up in the mountain before he took him to the cross, and I'll fight these guys, and he cut off the guard's ear, and God, Jesus said, put it away. And then just shortly thereafter, when Jesus was a prisoner, he was going by the fire, and he didn't have enough guts to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And he denied Christ 3 times. Peter's life had an interesting twist. And then we know later, after Jesus died, and they were gathered in the upper room, Jesus came and visited him. He walked through the wall and showed up. Hi, guys. I'm making light of that. But can you imagine you sitting there, you just saw your friend die, you saw your hopes maybe going down the drain, you didn't know. You professed with your mouth that he's Lord. He even said that. And then he doubted. He probably had that moment of doubt. And in that moment of doubt, Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit just touched his heart. And in Acts chapter 2, forget about the denying Jesus three times. Forget about the rooster crowing three times. Peter stood up and with the power of the Holy Spirit preached a sermon where thousands of people came to know Christ. Thousands of people had made a decision to go from here to there. Thousands of people now have eternity to be with God because of this one person. Something changed. Something changed. Now, every pastor, I don't care if you're worth your salt or not, you know, you're a pastor, you aspire to be that guy. Be able to preach and have thousands come. I mean, we all dream about that. You cannot not do that. You think about these wonderful passages in the past. And so if you think that you as a non-pastor cannot speak the Bible or be proficient enough or professional enough to be able to share your faith, imagine the pastors where you're living up to that. How come I'm not preaching and saving thousands at a time? So the mental gymnastics of how we could compare ourselves to these examples, that's not the case. God called a condition together, and his truth spoke to thousands of people. And it was Peter's faith in being obedient to get up and speak the truth that was the difference. And his faith was infectious. His faith went from here to there, and it made an impact in the world. So, let's talk a little bit about faith, hope, and beliefs. Infectious faith, good. Thank you. Can you put up the first slide, please? We're going to be in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 is our primary verse today. Then I've got some verses that we're going to be following in the outline. I'm going to read them to you. You can write them down and look at your notes. But let me just share this little joke. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon. He asked a boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, 18 to nothing. We're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged, replied the little boy. We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. Is that faith? Is that belief that they're going to do something better, or is that hope? It just, you know, I think the reason I bring that up is because we have those words interchangeable in our voices, in our language. I believe when you talk to a person and you say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? We say that a lot. Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, you know what's scary? Something that ought to make you pause. James 2:19 says this. You believe that there's one God? Great. Even the demons believe that. What do we believe? What do we hope for? What do we have faith in? If the demons even believe in Jesus Christ, and we claim that we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe in God, is there any difference? If we want our faith to do something, if we want our faith to be infectious, if we want our faith to impact, as Peter did, where he stood up and obeyed God at the risk of death, and thousands of people were saved, how do we get infectious faith? How do we have a faith that makes that kind of an impact? And our verse up here in 2 Corinthians 5:7 is very clear. For we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. What that really is saying is this. If we live our faith by what we see, we're not going to have an impact. What I see is what I can do. What I see is what I can touch. What I see is what I can speak. If we're not living by faith, as Peter did, where he stood up and proclaimed the truth of God and thousands were saved, you're not going to have an impact. Now, some of you might be saying, well, you know, life is hard. Life is difficult. I'm going through some tough times. I got it. but people are watching you all the time. I was sitting in a hospital room. You know, in some of these situations, they have the doors. They close the doors because the sounds and the, you know, just the noises can be, you can be overcome by these noises and the sounds. When there's difficult breathings, machines going, whatever. And I was praying with somebody, and I didn't even realize my volume of my voice, but I was just praying with somebody. Said their goodbyes, and they ended up getting out of the hospital later and recovering. But as I walked out, a nurse that I didn't even know, sitting at the counter, said, "Have a good night, Pastor." I went, "Oh, what if I had said the wrong thing? Wonder if I had slipped? What if I had cursed? Wonder if I had, I don't know, said something embarrassing? What would they have thought? Because I didn't know that they could hear my voice." And I hope and pray that that person was heard the prayer and what the heartfeltness behind it. You never know who's listening. You don't know who's watching. You don't know the littles are watching you. How are you behaving? Do you only do that when you are at church? Do you only act this nice or this well or this kind when you're around your Christian buddies and friends? And I'll be the first to sit up here and say, "Don't look at me." Just joking this morning. I drive through Champaign and I almost lose Jesus every time I go up there, right, Joe? There's something about driving in Champaign that just. And I got my daughter sitting right behind me who just went through driver's training not too long ago and is learning, and I got to trust her with my vehicles. And my behavior and my impact has an impact on her. But as a Christian, as a person of faith, if I want my faith, and I think it's my prayer that all of us have infectious faith, because there's another place in the Bible that talks about taking our light and putting it underneath a cover. That's a pretty bold picture. We can take our faith and put it underneath a basket, and hide that light. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants our light to shine out into the world, to be a beacon of hope in the world of darkness. You see, that's what Peter had to overcome. He had to overcome that basket and get past his fears of death. And when he saw Jesus walk through the wall, basically show up in the room, how'd you do that? The doors are closed. And he just died on the cross. How'd that happen? Oh, you did overcome death. Yes, the sting of death is now gone. What do I have to worry about? Why am I afraid of dying? So many of the things that we do in our life is because we're afraid of something. What do we have to be afraid of when we have God on our side? For we live by faith, not by sight. Now, I've stood up here numerous occasions, and I talk about one of my favorite scenes in a movie with Indiana Jones. And when pastors start pulling on worldly things to bring in their examples, I got to admit, I have to be very careful here. But this is one of the best examples of what I'm going to talk about that I could probably come up with. I can't think of a comparable Christian version of this from the movies or something that I can point to culturally. I think you'll understand this. But in the movie of Indiana Jones, when he talks about, he's looking at the map. He's an archaeologist. So he believes in treasure maps. He believes in those secrets, those things. He's following this map, and he knows he's following this path through this tunnels. And he knows there's this bridge out here because he sees, and I'll show you this in a minute. And he gets to the place where he's being chased, life and death, and he gets to the edge. And there's nothing there. Let's put up the first slide, Aaron. But first, let me read this. Sorry, got ahead of myself. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through, there it is, faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. What Paul's saying here in Ephesians to the Ephesians is, it's by faith, through grace, that you've been saved. Not anything you can do. You can't be good enough. You can't buy it. So let's keep going. Let me show this Indiana Jones thing. Let's clarify. I keep getting way ahead of myself. My order's out. Whacked. Let's clarify something first. Go ahead and put it up. A belief, like Indiana Jones, as he's believing in his map, is an intellectual acceptance of facts. So when I said earlier I'm a believer in God, I believe the facts. I believe there are people who experienced Jesus Christ, who claimed he was Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, because there's accountings of that. It's an intellectual thing. We believe it up here. Next. Hope is anticipation that comes from believing something good. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I hope, and I know he's coming back. That's my hope. It's affecting my heart and my life, my choices. And then finally, my faith is confidence in what we hope for. So we use those words kind of interchangeably, and it's important that we know what they mean. We'll put this back up. So belief is in an intellectual, it's up here, it's in our head. Our hope really affects our heart. It's how it motivates us. Anticipation that comes from believing something good. We don't anticipate it. We worry about what happens if things are going to go bad. But hope, we want good things to happen. And then finally, faith is confidence in what we hope for. So let me show you this and get to the right place. Okay, go up, put it up. This is what Indiana Jones believed in. This is that map that he found. This is in the movie. I pulled it off the internet. And so what you have there is, it looks like crusaders trying to get the cup, walking across this bridge. There's no bridge there. How do you do that? Indiana Jones in his mind, you see this, is that there is a bridge there, you just can't see it. So he believed that because he's an archaeologist and he believes in those kind of archaeological facts. So he believed in that. Okay, next. Put up the hope, Aaron. He's on this hole open up. Look, some of you are getting this. You know where I'm at. He's this hole opens up, and there's this big cavern, and he's looking down at, I don't know, bottomless pit. And there's no bridge there. There's nothing there. And he's trying to struggle with his beliefs. He believed in the map. He believed in the picture. He believed that this is true, that it's going to get him to the cup. But where is he holding? His heart. What do you have in your heart? Are your beliefs strong enough to give you hope? And there's another little scene. I didn't put it in here. He takes some sand, and he throws it out there, and this CGI, computer-generated bridge, mystically appears. That's not the point here. But then this part. This is what I talk about right here all the time. He got over his beliefs. His beliefs gave him hope. And then he knew there was danger coming, so he put his foot out. And he took the first step. You see, Peter needed to take that first step. But before Peter took his first step, Jesus reached his hands out to him. And the difference in our lives is when God reaches his hands out through his son Jesus in our lives. By ourselves, on our own, without grace and mercy and forgiveness, we can't preach and save thousands of people and help people change their lives. We can't even fix ourselves. It's impossible, lest, as the verse says in Ephesians, we boast. For it is by grace that we're saved through faith, lest we boast. God knew us. God knows us. He knows that we would boast about, look at me. Look what I've done. Look what he did. He solved the problem. Now, again, pastors that pull on secular pictures, I know I'm probably, somebody's going to, oh, you shouldn't do that, Pastor. But I can't think of a better, clear example of this hope, belief, and faith thing than this. So he finally put his foot out, and the bridge was there. When God says, trust me, When God says, follow me, when God says, go do, is it your beliefs? Is it your hope? Or is it your faith that you respond to? And one of the reasons that I think, I'll put this out there. Our Christianity around the world is kind of, I won't say it's floundering, but I think it's struggling. There are so many battles going on for truth in our world today, right? All you got to do is turn on the news. Who's speaking the truth to us today? Who can you trust online? Who can you trust on the news? Who can you trust in Washington, D.C.? Who can you trust in your own government? Who can you trust when you go to the doctor's office? Who can you trust out there in our culture today? A lot of the things that we used to strongly believe in have shifted. Many of the things that we had security in and surety in are wobbly now. Can we trust Uncle Walter anymore on the news? We don't have an Uncle Walter anymore. Can we trust the people that we give our trust to protect us, to watch over us? What's our faith in? And sadly, in our lives, our young people are watching us. Grandparents, uncles, aunts, parents. And they're watching to see who you trust and who you have faith in. Is your God as big as you say he is? Is your God strong enough to overcome whatever it is that you might be facing? Is your God big enough to pick you up and take you out of the hell hole that you're in right now? Okay, put up the next slide, Aaron. There are seven verses. There's seven outlines, seven blanks for you right there. And I want you to just hear these words. I'll read the verses out loud. You can look it up later. The first one, seven blessings. There's more, of course. Gosh, there's tons of blessings in the Bible. But these seven I want to draw you to real quickly. They're all from the New Testament. It talks about faith. Because faith really got defined when Jesus came. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament, but when Jesus came in the New Testament and the whole history of Jesus' walk and his victory and overcoming death, it's really where faith came to be about. In 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9, it says, although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and receive with an indescribable joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith. The salvation of your soul. So the first blessing of faith is salvation. We have received salvation because of it's our faith in him. Even though we can't see him, even though we have not witnessed the same things that the disciples did, we have faith in him. It's because of our faith that we have salvation of our souls. In Acts 10, 43 next, number two, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So Acts 10:43 talks about forgiveness. The second blessing of faith is that we receive forgiveness. And that's huge. Nobody else can forgive you of your sins. It's the biggest debate Protestants have with Catholics all the time. Why do you need to go to confessional? Why do you need to have a priest intercede between you and God? According to Acts, it says all the prophets testify that whoever believes in him receives forgiveness. It's through our belief in God that we receive forgiveness, not because of acts of penance, going to a Catholic church, going to a mass, doing anything, even coming to church today. It's because you have faith in him. The third blessing in John 1:12, but to all who received him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The third blessing is that we now become part of the family of God. Adoption into God's family is huge because what that means is that we're now co-heirs. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So do we treat ourselves? Do we treat each other as brothers and sisters? Or do we cast those out? It says very clearly that if you proclaim Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're my brother, you're my sister. We might have different practices and traditions, read different translations of the Bible, but we're the family of God. Fourthly, in 1 Peter 1:5, who by God's power is being guarded through faith, there it is again, through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We get God's protection. We are guarded through our faith. Do you ever feel sometimes like you're just you've just 360 degrees, every fire arrows are coming at you from all directions? You know, I don't know where I can really point to in the Bible where it talks about guardian angels, but I do believe God is watching over us. He's protecting us. We have angels, we have people fighting. There's spiritual battles going on all around us. And I believe strongly that God is protecting us because of our faith. He says, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. You're right here. Which, it's kind of an interesting little side thing. I was trying to think of a better illustration than the Indiana Jones thing. And here's what really triggered this discussion this for me was one of my students at school. They were getting in this debate about TikTok and all this other stuff. And I heard somebody say, oh, I believe in this artist and what they're saying and whatever. And it just kind of struck me how easily influenced people are by mainstream media, online influences. And I was tempted. I didn't. I prayed instead that we need to show our kids who they really ought to believe in. And I wonder if they're believing so easily in these people online, because we do the same thing. When we are online and we're quoting people and we're seeing things and we share these things and we're online doing our mainline stuff and our mainstream stuff, and are our kids just imitating us? And the big concern, of course, with TikTok was being a Chinese app, and they're spying on our kids, and there's so much, oh God, this stuff's, it's nasty. What's out there and what you can hide, you can show, it's just disgusting. Maybe we need to be modeling better behavior for our kids and our grandkids. Maybe we need to turn the thing off. We went out to breakfast the other day, and I'm just going to be real transparent. I'm not asking anyone else to do this, but I just read a post from a pastor talking about his wife, how much he loved her. And a guy accused him. He says, when you go out to dinner, where do you put your phone? He says, well, I put it over on the side, and I put my glass case right there, and I put my keys right there. And he asked, why is your phone on the table? Well, you know, I'm a pastor. I get a call. Are you putting your phone and your ministry before your wife when you take her out to dinner? It just convicted me. So I'm making a point now with my wife. My phone stays in my coat pocket on silent. When I'm with her, I want to give her my full attention, my full devotion. We do that. We've become so connected that the minute it vibrates, dings, rings, or whatever we do, we respond. It's like those trained rats, you know? You hear the bell, they get hungry. They salivate. Dogs did it. They did it. Pavlov's dogs. That was the whole thing. Humans can do the same thing. What does that got to do with anything? If we have God's protection, why are we letting the walls down? If we have God's protection, why are we letting the spies in the back door? Why are we letting the enemy into our own homes through our TVs, through our movies, through our social media? We have God's protection, people, and yet we're letting the spies come running right in our back door. Hear me out. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm convicted by that. Fifthly, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Number five, the fifth benefit or blessing is reconciliation. What does that mean? If Christ and God can be reconciled to me. Oh my gosh, the way I used to be, the way I was, and even many ways the same way I am in so many ways, we can be reconciled to anybody. That's the lead-in right there. Boom. We ought not to say or hold things over people's heads and say, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. We cannot say that we can't forgive somebody because of what they did to us. We can't forgive them for what they years ago did to us or what they said to us or how much they hurt us. How much did we, and we still continue today, hurt Jesus through the sinfulness of our lives? I'm there. 2 Corinthians 5:18, the gift of reconciliation is huge. Acts 26:17-18. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who were sanctified by faith in me. The sixth gift or blessing is sanctification. We're not to hide our faith. We're not to be ashamed of our faith. We're not to hold it and only demonstrate it when we go to certain places like church or we hang out with our Christian buddies. It's to be out there in the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. If you want your faith to be infectious, if you want to be able to impact and infect other people with your faith because of the joy and the blessings of what God has done for you, do you live it? And then lastly, of course, my favorite verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the seventh blessing on this list of faith is eternal life. What is that worth to you? How do you put a price on that? How do you measure that? Eternal life. That means forever, right? No ending. It's eternity. And we talked this morning in our study about, you know, how short our time here is on earth, our relationships, the things we own, the things we've invested in, the things that we acknowledge, our relationships. Those are all temporary. Eternity's forever. Because God loved us first. Seven blessings: salvation, forgiveness of sins, adoption into God's family, God's protection, reconciliation, sanctification, and eternal life. That's huge. So, what do we do with this list, practically speaking? What do we do? Go ahead and put up the next slide. C.S. Lewis wrote this in a book called A Grief Observed. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. I think that's pretty true. What's the most important things in your life? What's the most important moment? What's the value of whatever that is? Do you believe in the things that you believe because they're truthful, or do you trust them? That's what he's saying. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. When your life is on the line, when you're facing a life and death circumstance, truth is important. It is easy to say that you believe a rope to be strong as long as you are merely using it to wrap up a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a crevice. Wouldn't you first then discover how much you really trust it? See, a rope's just a piece of rope till you need it. A A savior's just a savior until you need him. What do you believe? So here's your challenge this week. We don't need to believe in Jesus. We don't need to hope in Jesus. We need to have faith in Jesus. We need to have faith in Jesus today. Because if you want infectious faith, it's because we have a relationship with him that starts the whole thing rolling. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Gosh. Lord, we know that your word is a double-edged sword. It hurts going out and coming in. It hurts. Because as I'm even sharing this and I'm preaching from my heart, it hurts. I'm sorry I've let you down. I pray that I take the steps towards you I need to, Lord. Forgive me where I've fallen short. Lord, as we bow our heads this morning, and I know that there's struggles going on in our church today with health issues and relationship issues and family problems, financial things. Lord, I pray that I live a life worthy of you, that honors you, that shows the world that you're worthy to be praised. I don't want to live a life that looks hidden or it's not representative of you. Forgive me, Father, where I've fallen short. Father, I pray for everybody here in this room that we take these words to heart, these wonderful blessings that we get for having faith in your son, Jesus. Just fall on us. Lord, we all have struggles. We all have issues. But Father, I know you're a big God. And you're a faithful God. And that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. Father, let us just grow in our trust in you. Grow in our faith in you. Become stronger. And let the world see that change in our lives. Because that's good. Change is good. Growth is good. Faith is great. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. And all God's people said, amen.